The Blitz. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston. A Gau Media station. If you're not down with that, we got two words for you. Are you ready? Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you could tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters. Break it down! This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Hour number two, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page.
Find Mike
Blitz,
check.
Click like. Yeah.
Mike check. 1-2.
Mike is here.
How's that sound?
Sounds terrible.
Okay. Same as it sounded all show?
Yeah. Cool. It doesn't sound any different.
That's what I thought.
Do I have to cut you off already? Are you a drunk Astros fan now?
I am two beers and one sip in. So, yeah, I'm pretty...
Did you do shots over there or something?
No shots.
Okay.
No shots.
I think the rally has begun here.
Oh, no. Yeah. They scored a second run?
Yes. Anything can happen now.
Oh, no. Wasn't the final 8-2 yesterday?
Yeah.
Maybe that's just the trend that they're going for.
I think they're consistent. If you can consistently win every game 8-2,
you'll
be all right.
That's a good record, I would say.
All right, let's go through the NFL games one by one and take a look at the spreads, and we'll start with Chargers at the Giants. Giants 3-point favorites at home. Man, this
is such a sad game.
Yeah, there's a lot of sad games. And this is the saddest. These are two teams that just can't win. And you always do the winners win, losers lose thing.
Yeah, these are losing teams.
These are losers. So what? A tie?
No,
that means Chargers cover.
That's true. I guess I'm gonna take the team that's getting points, right?
Yeah, I kind of feel that way too. Although I don't like West Coast to East Coast, but then again, for a noon game,
Giants starting the Giants are bad on the offensive line. They're starting centers out. They've got injuries on defense. They're just a mess.
And I think that the road may be better for the Chargers at home. They have no home field advantage. Okay, I'll go with you on this one. I'll take Chargers also. Bengals -3 against the Bills.
I'll take the Bengals.
Yeah, I think I'm with you too. Browns and Jets, of course, pick them.
The only play that I'm going to have in the NFL that's an actual play for me this week besides last night will be Browns pick 'em. I like the Browns.
Really?
Yep.
I think I'll take the Jets here.
Okay.
Steelers minus...
You'll rue the day, Fred.
Listen, man, I'm done ruining things, all
You're
right?
You're going to rue this day.
I'm not going to rue anything. You can just stop with that.
Okay.
You're telling me I'm going to rue stuff.
Rue.
I don't even know rue.
Rue.
The only rue I know is at Hunger Games, and she died.
It's
true. Spoiler alert.
It's true. What about a good rue for like a... Like if you're cooking with Creole food, you build a good roux before you make like an etouffee or something.
I don't make etouffees.
Okay.
So I wouldn't know anything about that.
Would you eat it?
Probably.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Steelers -7.5 at home against Jag. I think the Steelers win this game.
I'll take Jag +7.5, though.
Yeah, that number.
It's gone down. It was like 10 earlier, wasn't it?
It was 8.5 is what it opened at. If it gets down to 7, I'll take the Steelers.
I probably would, too. Outside of 7, I'm on Jag.
Titans -3 at Dolphin. That's another sad game.
Yeah. Titans likely without Marcus Mariota. Still better than Dolphin. I'll go Titan.
All right.
Dolphins are such a mess on offense especially. They're bad.
Colts now 1-point favorites at home against San Francisco. Another West Coast team playing a noon game.
The Colts are at home?
Yes.
And they're 1-point favorites?
Yes.
Against a team that hasn't won a game yet?
Yes.
I know the Niners aren't going to go winless, but I honestly feel like the win that they're going to end up with, or one of the wins they'll end up with, will be like a random game against Seattle or somebody they shouldn't beat.
Right.
I think they'll lose to the Colts. I'll take the Colts.
Okay. I don't have an opinion on any of these games so far, just so you know.
All I know is my Sunday is going to be dedicated to watching Indianapolis and San Francisco because that's where the talent's at. I mean, that's what I want to see.
All right.
I'm watching that game to see if there's any pro-caliber talent on the field that could get drafted next year into the NFL. I just don't know if there will be, though.
Eagles minus 6.5 against the Cardinals. All right, the game is over. Astros win 8-2.
Oh, thank goodness. They close it out.
Yes. They're just a steady diet, 8-2.
I think the Astros finish it off on Sunday.
Yeah, I
just don't think the Red Sox are good enough. They can't hit.
All right, Eagles minus 6.5, Cardinals. I actually like the Eagles to cover this.
I like the Eagles, too. I'm coming around that the Eagles are really good.
Yeah.
Carson Wentz ahead of schedule. You agreed?
Definitely.
Yeah.
Lions minus 2.5 at home against the Panthers.
Give me Lions.
Yeah, inside of 3, I'll take the Lions. Outside of 3, I'll go the other way. Rams minus 1.5 at home against Seahawks.
I think the Rams beat the Seahawks this week. The Rams look good on offense. They look good on defense. Seattle's not very good. And Seattle can't run the ball. And if Seattle can't run, I don't know how they score. So I'll take Rams giving points to Seattle. I wouldn't have thought that at the beginning of the year, but I'll take the Rams.
Yeah, I'm kind of with you. I know a lot of the pro money's on Seattle because they're like, oh, look, I'm getting points with Seattle.
Which makes sense, and it's kind of flipped because I think it was Seattle minus 1.5 to start, and it's flipped.
Yeah. That was a pick 'em to start.
But, yeah, I like the Rams in that game.
Raiders minus 3 against the Ravens.
God, I don't want anything to do with that game. I think the total in that game is under 40.
39.
Oh, my gosh. What an awful football game. I guess give me the Ravens.
Yeah. I don't feel good about it.
I don't like it. I wouldn't want to play it, but that's the best I got for you.
It's kind of like having sex with a really, really ugly woman.
EJ Manuel is so bad at football. It's not going to be a fun game to watch.
Cowboys minus 2.5 at home against the Packers.
Cowboys hard.
Yeah,
That actually may be another play for me. If it's still under 3, come kickoff.
Yeah,
I'll be on Cowboys.
I think I'm with you. I know that Joel Blank, who's listening, completely disagrees.
Well, he thinks they're going to win every game.
Yeah, yeah. I think the Cowboys win this one. And Texans pick 'em v Chiefs.
I think I got to take the Chiefs. I don't feel great about it. I think the Texans are improving, but I think the Chiefs are the best team in the league. And I mean, if you're giving me a pick 'em there, and you're saying the Chiefs are only 3 points better on a neutral field, I find that hard to believe. As good as the Texans have looked, I still don't think they're on that level. I'd have to play the Chiefs here.
I'm on the other side of that. I like the Texans, and I will actually probably play the Texans this week.
Chiefs do have a banged up offensive line.
And while not a really short week because it's a night game, they're still coming off a short week. They're coming off a big Monday night win. And I think there's got to be a letdown. And in the grand scheme of things, I think the Chiefs are a better football team. I think in this situation, the Texans are better set up to win. And I'm starting to believe in Deshaun Watson. I think he's going to have a big game.
All right.
So there you go. Those are your NFL games.
Who's on Monday night this week?
The Monday night game.
Oh, Bears-Vikings.
Yeah, can't wait for that one.
Ugh.
Ugh is right.
Yeah.
And there are just a lot of bad matchups this week.
I'm going to watch a movie on Monday night.
I just think there's a lot of teams that we talk. You know, we ask this every week: who are the good teams? I don't know. I don't know how many there are.
I know the Chiefs are good.
Yeah, but again, then you start getting banged up.
Well, I also know the Chiefs aren't going to go 16-0.
No.
So
no, they're going to go 15-1. This will be the one.
I think the Chiefs might go like 12-4, 13-3. But I don't think anybody's going 16-0. That team, what I've seen of them, they're not a 16-0 team.
No. All right, guys, got to tell you about Harry's Razors. And, man, I love Harry's because I get the razors sent right to my house. I never have to go buy them anywhere. And it's great quality. And they're really inexpensive. And that's why they started Harry's. They were tired of all these ridiculous prices they were paying for razors. Bought their own factory. Made quality razors and sell them directly to you on the internet so they take less profit. And so they can offer their blades at half the price. That's just $2 compared to the $4 more you'll pay if you go to the store. Harry's Razors includes everything you need for a close, comfortable shave. Weighted ergonomic handle, 5 precision engineered blades with a lubricating strip and trimmer blade, rich lathering shave gel, and a travel blade cover. Harry's is so confident in the quality of their blades, they want you to try their shave set for free. You heard that right. Just cover shipping when you sign up. Plus, a special offer for fans of the show. Go to harrys.com right now and enter code BLITZ at checkout to get a post-shave balm also free. That's harrys.com, code BLITZ.
Above and beyond your basic burrito.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow. Live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. Astros get the easy win today.
Go up 2-0.
Yep.
2-0, as they would say in the soccer world.
And so if you were just listening to that and have now switched over, welcome. Happy to have you. Should have been here the whole time. And if you're in the Beaumont area, hey, you need to be out here at Luke's Ice House. We're here till 7 o'clock. So if you're driving around right now going, hey, those guys are in Beaumont again?
They are.
I'm going to get my butt over there.
The Beaumaniacs are out in full force.
Because one of the most famous Hoffmans in America is there.
It's true. Philip Seymour Hoffman is buried here in Beaumont. A lot of people don't know that, but he is.
No.
That's not true?
Trevor Hoffman's
That's
buried
fake
here.
News?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ken Hoffman, who writes for culturemap.com, houston.culturemap.com, he says, back in 2011, I Googled my last name to see how high up I was on the Hoffman family tree. He says Hoffman is the 195th most popular last name in the U.S., and there weren't many, quote, who's who's Hoffmans. I figured that I might actually be in the top 10 most known living, breathing Hoffmans. He said, of course, Dustin was number one. Philip Seymour was right there. And then there was a Ken Hoffman that was the president of the Little Caesars College Football Bowl.
I don't know that he's more famous than this Ken Hoffman.
I don't know either. Followed by a real estate giant in Portland, Oregon. And the most famous Ken Hoffman ever is the former sanitation supervisor of Charlotte, North Carolina. When he retired, the city named a street after him.
Wow.
So
Charlotte's not some bum bleep town either.
Oh, that's a big boy town.
Yeah.
So he counts down the top 10. Number one, Dustin Hoffman.
Okay, that's fair.
And he now
definitely number one.
Now here's what's
definitely
happened.
Number one.
Remember, Philip Seymour Hoffman's off the list because he's dead.
Yeah. He would be two.
He's dead. Don't do drugs, kids.
Especially not heroin.
You'll die.
Well,
heroin is bad for you. Trust me. I've heard.
Yeah.
Bad for
yeah.
you.
That seems to be the rumor.
Charlie Hoffman is number two, the world's 23rd ranked golfer.
Boy, that's a big drop off, though.
Oh, yeah.
You
yeah.
take Philip Seymour off that list and now Charlie Hoffman?
I got to be honest. I don't think that's the exact order of the list. Because I think number four and five should definitely be ahead of three and maybe even two. Number three is Rick Hoffman, who plays Louis Litt on Suits.
Oh, okay. He's pretty funny.
And then number four is Matt Hoffman, who's like arguably the greatest BMX rider ever. I feel like he should be ranked ahead of the guy who's on Suits.
He's got a cool nickname too, Condor.
And maybe even ahead of Charlie Hoffman.
Yeah, I think Charlie Hoffman's too high on this list. Sorry, Charlie.
Number five is Trevor Hoffman, who's likely a Hall of Fame pitcher, even though he's a closer. He should probably be ranked ahead of Rick and Charlie.
Agreed. Right now, of all those, I think Charlie Hoffman should be at the bottom of that list.
Number six, Mike Hoffman, hockey star with the Ottawa Senators. Are you familiar with Mike Hoffman?
Yeah, I'm very familiar with
Mike
Hoffman.
Is he very good?
I would say he's not one of the top 23 hockey players in the world, though, so probably behind Charlie Hoffman.
Okay.
I would slot him right behind Charlie Hoffman. He's good, though.
Jeffrey Hoffman is number seven. He's an astronaut. He's got five missions on space shuttles.
Nobody pays attention to astronauts anymore. Drop him.
Astronaut. I will say astronaut is a dying profession.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
that's
literally.
Yeah.
But
number eight, Glenn Hoffman, third base coach for the Padres, which in itself is not enough to be warranted famous.
Yeah.
But he was a former manager of the Dodgers. So, okay. He's number eight. Number nine, AJ Hoffman. I finally made it.
Yes.
Thank you.
The ninth most famous Hoffman in America.
Co-host of The Blitz on ESPN 97.5 radio in Houston, an undefeated professional MMA fighter. That is a...
wait a minute. You lost a fight.
That was an amateur fight. That doesn't count. Once you turn pro, once you turn pro, your record resets at 0-0.
Okay.
Just so you know, Fred. Just want you to know that.
Good.
It's like that's like a preseason loss. All right? That doesn't count. It doesn't count for anything. And number 10, Ebony Hoffman, which... Just to let you know where WNBA ranks in the world of famous Hoffmans, Ebony Hoffman was a first-round draft pick in the WNBA and currently plays in Turkey, and I'm more famous than her, according to Ken Hoffman.
Well, I have never heard of Ebony Hoffman.
Nor have I.
All right, I'm going to slot you.
I haven't heard of her, and she's my sister. Well, that's weird.
I'm going to slot you behind Mike Hoffman, ahead of Jeffrey Hoffman.
You would have me ahead of the astronaut?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, if this were the 1960s,
astronauts were
astronauts big. Number one.
But radio guys were really big in the 60s, too.
That's true. You'd have been like Walter Cronkite.
Yes.
Talking about the astronaut.
And the astronaut has been lost in space.
Yeah.
And the country mourns.
I would be doing play-by-play and using terms like whirling dervish. That would be really awesome.
Would you?
He's spinning a gem out there, folks. Dallas Keuchel is a whirling dervish on the mound. That would be my play-by-play from the day.
Somebody actually said that today on the Astros broadcast.
They said whirling dervish?
They did.
Son of a bitch. Well,
they're stealing your bits and you don't even know it.
Well, what am I going to do? I guess technically I'm the thief then if that happened.
Yeah, well, I was kind of surprised because it's not like you hear that phrase very often.
No, you don't.
But ninth most famous hop because that's a common name. That's pretty good.
I accept that honor, Ken, and I appreciate him. I appreciate him dropping himself out of the top 10 for me.
No, I think you're more famous than he is now.
Now?
Yeah.
Okay.
That might not have been the case when, you know, I'd say 8 years ago when you first got here.
I feel like he like last time he had real estate agents ahead of me. That just doesn't seem
right.
That
was a little insulting.
That was a slap in the face.
But you see how weak this list is, right?
It's a weak list.
I mean, I'm not saying it's weak because you're on it. I'd have you like sixth, I think, or seventh. That's pretty good.
Yeah, I would take that.
I think you're almost as famous as Charlie Hoffman. How many Twitter followers does he have?
It's got to be a lot. I think he's pretty famous.
Well, I guess so.
I mean, he won a major, didn't he?
I think so.
Because I remember, like, he won the major when I didn't have him on my team. Charlie Hoffman has 2,400 Twitter followers.
He's got a check mark, and you don't.
But he's only tweeted seven times ever.
Still, 2,300 followers. That dude, hey, you put move him down the list.
Okay.
He's below Mike Hoffman now.
Let's see who else is on that list, and I might have more Twitter followers in. What about Rick Hoffman? You think I have more Twitter followers than him?
Which one is he?
He's the one from Suits.
Oh, nah, he actors, man.
Oh, 176,000.
Yeah.
That's big.
Yeah.
Okay.
You're host on that one.
All right. Well, let's go down the list. Matt Hoffman will definitely have more Twitter followers than me. I think he's more famous than people are giving him credit for. Actually, Matt Hoffman may not have Twitter. That's why. He's too cool for Twitter. Man, that's how you know you're really cool, when you're too cool to have Twitter. I wish I was too cool for Twitter or social media. That's my dream.
He does have an Instagram, though. I follow him on there.
How many Instagram followers does he have?
Let me look.
Yeah, give us a look. We'll count that. Trevor Hoffman. He's way more famous than me. He's got less Twitter followers than me, though. 10,700.
Yeah, you know what? He's not really famous anymore.
He's not famous anymore,
but
he was, at his peak,
yeah,
far more famous than me. I'll concede it to him.
Matt Hoffman has 127,000 followers.
Oh, that's a lot. That's a good number.
Yeah,
that's a good number. What about the hockey guy, Fred? Mike Hoffman.
Yeah, most hockey guys don't have a lot of them. I think they just now got to a couple guys with 10 million.
Mike Hoffman has 33,000, which is more than
me. Okay, yeah, so he should be ahead of you.
More than me, so that's a solid solid play there. Jeffrey Hoffman, the astronaut. You think Jeffrey Hoffman has Twitter?
I'm going to go with 8 followers. Maybe 10. And I mean 8, not 8,000.
There's a lot of Jeffrey Hoffmans, and nobody has a check mark, so I don't know which one it is. So I'm not going to – I won't count him. I'm going to say I'm in the running with him.
I'm putting you ahead of him.
And then former Dodgers manager Glenn Hoffman.
He was – I bet he's got you beat.
I don't know.
Although people unfollow you when you get fired as manager.
He doesn't have
Does he have a lock? Is that him with the locked account?
I don't know. If you're a celebrity, you can't have a locked account, right?
I don't know.
No, that's not him.
Okay, I don't know how celeb he is.
Yeah. I think you can make an argument for me like number 7.
That's where I slotted you.
Thanks, Fred.
In fact, I think Charlie Hoffman barely makes my list.
I appreciate you, man.
Well,
you've always got my back when I need it.
Greg says he is the most famous genius in the world.
That's good.
See, I get heartbroken every time you Google.
What about Giannis Antetokounmpo?
Oh, he's the best Antetokounmpo there is.
Yeah. He's also a good Giannis, though. Just spelled differently.
You know what? I'm very disappointed, though, because every time if you Google Fowler, the first thing that comes up is Fowler Glass Technologies. I'm going to go with they bought that spot.
They're the top spot?
Yeah. I bet it's sponsored, and I bet they bought it. I'm going to go with that.
Because they're
closed now on a Friday in West Knox Street, Tampa, Florida.
If you only type in my last name, it says, welcome to Pentair.
Okay, so it's the same thing. So we could throw those out, right?
Which is they make steel enclosures.
All right, so we could draw
electrical enclosures. And then there's a Hoffman Institute Foundation, which is it's a week-long healing retreat of transformation and development for people who feel stuck in one or more important areas of their life. That is me to a T. I feel stuck in this job. I feel stuck in a relationship with my coworker. I feel stuck on the Hoffman list. You're playing Dr. Phil right here. But yeah, there's a Hoffman Institute Foundation for that too.
Hmm.
And then you can learn piano online from the Hoffman Academy if you're into that.
Okay.
So there you have it.
I'm trying to learn about Fowler Glass Technologies.
Where's RJ Bell ranking most famous Bells? Behind Alexander Graham.
Yeah.
Le'Veon.
Behind Le'Veon. We'll ask him.
Biv DeVoe. Bell Biv DeVoe, pretty famous.
Yeah.
But we'll ask RJ where he thinks he ranks.
Fair enough.
All right. Kristen Bell.
Maybe.
Famous. More famous than RJ, I'm sure.
Yeah, probably.
She's in movies.
Yeah. Hey, he was in Ballers.
Yeah, but he was like in one episode.
Yeah. But he stood next to The Rock.
Kristen Bell has 2.23 million followers on Twitter.
Okay, she's a little.
She's pretty famous.
Yeah.
But we'll talk to him on the other side.
All right. Do we have something here, or is there music or what? I can't hear a thing. Okay.
This is a RentersWarehouse.com roadshow, live from Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz, live here at Luke's Ice House in Beaumont. Once again, I want to thank Coors Light, Miller Lite for having us. I want to thank all the Golden Triangle Blitzers for coming out here.
That's right.
And us starting a Golden Triangle Turf War.
That's right.
Also, quick plug for Houston.sportsmap.com. There's already an Astros story on the site.
Excellent.
So go check it out. Houston.sportsmap.com. All right. Well, that's 4 today already.
Man, strong.
All right. Well, let's enough of this nonsense. Let's get to the man of the hour, the gambling guru of the world, our good friend, RJ Bell. What's going on, RJ?
You know, if someone had like a huge scar on the side of their face, like Omar in The Wire, and you said, what happened? And I think the story would start with something like, it was at the Ice House in Beaumont.
Yeah, that's a good start to a movie. Yeah. That's actually the beginning. You, that's the opening scene of Fred's movie.
You could start many stories with, it was a late night at the Ice House in Beaumont.
RJ, we just did a segment on where I rank. There's an article that came out that listed me as the ninth most famous Hoffman in the world. Where do you think you rank amongst famous Bells?
I don't know. That's an interesting question.
Like we can agree. Le'Veon.
Yeah.
Kirsten Bell beats you. Or Kristen
you
Bell. She's
you
got
think?
2 million Twitter followers. She's very famous.
Okay.
I don't think Albert Bell counts because he's got an E at the end of his name.
Yeah, it's exactly the same spelling.
And Alexander, Alexander Graham Bell is really dead.
Yeah, but if you invent the telephone versus hitting 55% on your NFL picks, I'm going to give it to the telephone.
What about Southwestern Bell?
It's a corporate entity. It's not a person.
Okay. So you're number three or four then. It's semantics.
I'll take four. I'll take four.
Okay.
So you're in the top five of Bells in the
world.
That's
pretty good.
Woo!
Yeah, he moved up a spot when we started doing that national show on Tuesdays.
Oh, what about remember wasn't there a major leaguer named Joey Bell?
If you're saying wasn't there, that means they're not more famous than me.
Okay, that's probably true. All right.
All right, let's see why I'm famous. Let's get some good NFL picks.
Yeah, well, if you've got good NFL picks this week, you should move up to number three.
I got to tell you, yeah, Fred and I have both taken a good look at this card, and we both hate it tremendously. And I didn't want to play the game last night until they announced that Gronk was out, and it went down to four. And I was like, okay, well, it's kind of gunned ahead. I'm going to play it at four, and I got lucky to cover. But there's just not a lot of games this week that I'm liking. It just seems like all the worst teams are playing all the other worst teams. There's just not a lot of games that I feel really good about.
Well, I've got three I like, so
okay.
Maybe we run them down. Let's start with the one that Fred and I agreed with. So on our National SB Nation show, Coast to Coast, Tuesday nights, 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central, 6 o'clock Pacific. Mountain 7 is we are 6-0 on this. Is that 8-0 or 6-0, Fred?
6-0. It'll be 8-0 after this week.
Okay, yeah. But there's 4 weeks. What, did we miss the first week?
No, yeah, we didn't have a show that first week, remember?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so
6-0 on the season. I'm perfect. Fred is perfect. And we happen to agree on the same pick, which was the Houston Texans. Now, we know Fred's not a homer when it comes to objectively putting his money down.
He is
so
not.
I think you got to take that seriously. Here's my rationale. I think KC is a perfect storm of public love. They're undefeated. People have a visceral reaction to that zero in the loss column. They have the most iconic win of the year, that opening win over New England. And they just won on Monday Night Football and actually covered the spread on Monday Night Football. And thus, everyone that bet them won. And it feels like a team of destiny. Now, why am I a little skeptical of KC? Let's look at net yards per play, the wise guy's favorite stat. How many yards do you gain on offense when you snap the ball? How many yards do you give up when the opponent snaps the ball? If you have a plus number, you're above average team, generally. Negative number, below average. KC has improved almost 1.5 yards year over year. Now, that is a monster improvement. The only other team in that level of improvement are the Rams, which obviously they've improved massively. And that's it. No other teams even in that universe. So now the question is, well, why would the Rams have improved so much? Well, Goff seems to be a different player. McVay seems to be a genius. Who knows? But it kind of makes sense that this is a much better team. What has Kansas City really done differently? Now, I know they've got an extra playmaker here and all, but do we really think Alex Smith all of a sudden got to be much better in his 30s? KC's a good team. They might be a top five team, but I don't think they're clearly the best team. And this line, KC favored in Houston by one right now, assumes that they're a really good team. Because if you look at the Texans, this is a team that had the defense, had a lot on offense, didn't have a quarterback. Now we're 3 weeks in, two really good weeks to the Watson era, and it looks great. Now, I'm not willing to bet he's going to be a Hall of Famer, but I think it's a big upgrade over Savage. And I think that upgrade has the team motivated. I think it's going to have the crowd motivated on a Sunday night. And to me, I'll take the home dog with momentum over a slightly overrated Chiefs team.
See, I think that's brilliant because I agree with it.
Well, I disagree with it, but I do think Alex Smith is
better
than
30s. Like Jacksonville last week?
Like Jacksonville last week, but I do agree that I think that Alex Smith has gotten better in his 30s. I feel like if you watch Alex
from
Smith
last
now versus,
year,
I think Alex Smith has been good. I mean, he's turned into solid quarterback.
So if he's equal to last year, why are they up 1.4 yards per snap?
Why? I'm sorry?
Why are they up net yards per play, Kansas City, almost 1.5 yards over last year?
Oh, because they've got a dynamic running back going right now.
Yeah, I mean, if that can take the 10th team to the first team, that feels like that it could be five games that you don't have a run over 20 yards from this guy. I mean, I'm not saying he's not valuable, you know. So
the reason why I'm avoiding this game, like my lean is to Kansas City. The reason why I'm avoiding the game is because Kansas City's offensive line is banged up, and to me, the biggest strength that the Texans have is the front seven of their defense. And that concerns me. But I also think that this is the best defense that Deshaun Watson will have faced in his career so far. And I think it's going to be a step up for him.
Cincinnati doesn't have a bad defense.
Okay. And so
number three in yards per play.
What did he put up against Cincinnati? Basically nothing.
No, I agree. But I thought you were saying something else, which it might feel like a different game. Like, and what I'm saying is you're right. In his first start with one practice, right, Fred, before that start with the starters, he had one practice. He put up enough to win. And to me, I'll be very happy if they win 14-13 plus one. So I'm not looking for a blowout. I'm looking to win.
That's fair. The one game that I've looked at a lot and I'm probably going to end up playing – the one game I did play, let's get to that one first. I like Cleveland at home against the Jets. I think Cleveland has been hanging around. They're sort of like San Francisco. I feel like eventually they've got to win. I don't think any of these teams are bad enough to go 0-16. And I think Cleveland's been really close a couple times. I think this Jets team coming off of a high, it seems like a buy low, sell high situation for me with Cleveland.
Well, it's my second favorite pick, so brilliant, as Fred would say.
Now we can agree on something, finally.
Here's the rationale. And, you know, since we get to deep dive in this segment, I can explain this a little better than the other segments have had to gloss over. So 2 weeks ago, so right now if you look at Fezzik's power ratings, and Fezzik is probably the most respected and, in my opinion, the best NFL handicapper out there. He won the Super Contest twice, only guy ever to do that. That's the biggest handicapping contest in the world. And he has his power ratings, and we put them up every Wednesday at pregame.com. And clearly the three worst teams are the Jets, the Browns, and the Colts. That was the case this week, last week, week before. Now, the Jets have been upgraded because they've been winning and looking good, but they're still third. And the jump to fourth worst team, the Bears, is 2 points. So it's
where
really
are the Niners,
not
RJ?
Niners? Now, this is surprising. He's got them 26th. He's got them 4.5 points better than the Browns and the Colts.
Okay.
And I tend to agree with it. Last three losses, their own four, right? By 8 points combined.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if they win two of those, all of a sudden it's a whole different conversation, right? And we tend to believe in Vegas that wins and losses late in games have a huge element of luck to them. Okay, so a couple weeks ago, the Jets were a home underdog to the Browns by one. Now the Browns, 14 days later, are almost a home underdog to the Jets. So, and just to be clear, because I think I might have misspoke, it was the Browns were at the Colts, and the Colts were the home underdog, one of the three bad teams. And now one of the three bad teams is now close to favored, you know, pick them, with Cleveland. So if Cleveland was good enough to be a road favorite against one of the other two worst teams, and now they're almost a home underdog, what the heck has happened in 2 weeks to make it worth a 7-point swing? Going from a 1-point favorite on the road to a pick 'em at home is a 7-point swing. So your instincts are exactly right. Jets are high because of those two wins, and the Browns are low because they're 0-4 in the sense is, oh, it's just going to keep on going. I got no feeling that the Browns are a good team, an average team, or even a below average team. I think they're bad. But I think the Jets are bad too. Jets might be a smidge better, but they're not 3 points better. And that's what it requires to be pick 'em in Cleveland, thus value on the Browns.
Well, let me give you the play that I'm leaning to and I haven't pulled the trigger on yet. And I think it's another sort
hey,
of
if you know, I'm sorry to interrupt, AJ. I'm sorry to interrupt. But let me give you one stat, though, that applies to the Browns and the 49ers. And it also applies to the Giants and the Chargers. But since they play each other, it doesn't really matter. If you take 0-4 teams or worse, so 0-4, 0-5, 0-6, etc., and just blindly play them, doesn't matter if it's raining, snowing, if you slept a lot the night before, none of it matters. You play them blind. Since 1989, you would have hit 57% of those games.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
And it's not a small sample. It's 149 winners, 114 losers. The public doesn't want to – it's like a big albatross around their necks. Another reason to play the Browns.
So does that mean that you also like the 0-4 Niners against a bad Colts team?
Not as much because Peyton Manning's getting a statue. His number retired. Luck is coming back soon. I think the Colts are going to play their best game of the year. So I think I would lean towards the 49ers, but I just think the dynamics of that. And again, even though it's 57% blind, it's not quite the sample size. If it was 600 picks, I would play it blind. With 250 picks, it's a strong lean, and I need one more thing to push me over.
All right, well, what are your thoughts on the Dallas-Green Bay game? Because I feel like I've watched Green Bay, and they've got so many injuries. And in this Dallas team, which everyone had high expectations for at the beginning of the year, they're 2-2 now. I think people are starting to sleep on it a little bit. I like Dallas giving up 2.5.
So I do a podcast with Colin Cowherd, and it comes out every Saturday morning. We do his 5 plays and 5 picks. This was one of them. And I tweet out the link to that on my Twitter, at RJ in Vegas, is he had the Cowboys, and he got wise guy agreement in this one. I think it's close. It's mostly because this line's below a field goal. There's a lot I don't like about the Cowboys. I don't like their defense banged up. I don't like them as a home favorite. 13-30 since 2010 against the spread. 13-30 is a home favorite. But here's why I can't bet the Packers. Since 2012, the Packers at home, 36-10 straight up with one tie. And away, they're 23-24. Now, think about this. How many good, great years have the Packers had since 2012? And they're not even break even. They're not even 500 on the road. This is a horrible road team. Now I got the Cowboys less than a field goal. I think these are about even teams. So I think that home-away factor is the key to me. One thing I uncovered this morning that almost brought me off this game. So D coordinator for the Cowboys, Rod Marinelli. Rodgers has played against Rod Marinelli defenses 15 times in his career. He's 13-2, 29 touchdowns, 8 interceptions.
Oh, boy.
So could be a fluke, but that's something you don't hear a lot of people talking about that's got me passing the game.
Maybe enough to steer me clear of it.
Yeah.
RJ, tell me about what's happened from preseason to week four. How have these two teams been adjusted that now Seattle is either a pick 'em or a slight dog to the Rams?
Yeah, great question. So back to Fezzik's power ratings. By the way, I got an amazing story about Fezzik right after this. I'm guessing you guys might have saw it on Twitter. It's unbelievable. So if you look at the Rams, they've been upgraded more than any other team, but he still only has them 14th right now in the NFL, and they're up 4.5 points from the season starting. Seattle is down 2 points from the season starting. So net-net, 6.5-point adjustment. So in theory, this line would have been about a touchdown or so for Seattle when the season started.
And now it's a pick-up. So they've basically just, I mean, and Seattle on the road obviously is a pretty big downgrade, much like Green Bay, not a very good road team. And the Rams have played Seattle tough the last several years anyway, even when Seattle's been good.
At home, yeah, because, and it makes sense. They've covered 5 straight when they've hosted. Now, obviously some of that was in St. Louis, but it's the same concept, which is Seattle's on the road. And 5 straight covers, and every cover by 6.5 or more points. So they weren't even close. Even if you teased Seattle, you'd be 0-5 in all 5 of those games. And I think it makes sense. D-line has been good against that O-line. Seattle, even when they were really good, they weren't great on the O-line.
With this Ravens-Raiders game, how often do you get totals below 40 in the NFL anymore?
You know, great question. Not often. I mean, I could pull up the stats as we're talking, but my guess is, you know, you're looking at less than once a week. Now, remember, back in the day, the average total was 41. I mean, just 10 years ago.
Right.
And there was 37s all over the place.
And I'm guessing that if this would have been the week one game between Baltimore and Oakland, you're probably looking at a number of 48 or something like that. And both these teams offensively, well, I'm guessing, have to have been downgraded massively.
Yeah, but obviously the quarterback for Carr is a big move too.
Well, but even before Carr went out, that offense was a mess.
So if you guys don't mind, this Fezzik story is amazing, right?
Let's hear it.
Professional batter, he played a 10-team parlay last weekend. Now, people might say, that sounds square. And 99% of the time, you're right. But it's one of these, don't try this unless you're a professional. You can find parlay cards in a combination of tie-win parlay cards with 3 in the NFL, plus stale lines, plus a handful of games you like, you can be positive EV. Because in every game, you're getting value, right? If you're off of 3, you're getting 5% right there. If the line's 3, and then if it's like 3 minus 120, you can go the right direction, right, and actually have more. If you like a game, it should be 55%. And if a line's moved 2 or 3 points since Wednesday when the cards were printed, that's 5%. So you can have a bunch of, like, 10, 55% bets, which are positive EV. Okay. So he went 9-0 the first 9 games, Saturday and Sunday. His 10th game was the Kansas City Chiefs on Monday Night Football, favored by 6.5 on this card.
Oh, my.
So the last play, one of the once-a-season type bad beats for the underdog batters, sympathies, and obviously a miracle win, made it 10 out of 10, and his $100 won him $55,000.
Wow. What a hit. Now, we were talking about what that play did, and we talk about this quite a bit, that typically sharp versus public, sharp is under and underdogs, and public is usually over and favorites. And that game went from a sharp game to a public game pretty quickly, right?
Yeah, yeah. And the fact that, remember, a lot of people play the favorite and over on Monday nights. So
right.
The fact that it flipped both the underdog, the favorite, and the over, or the under the over, was really good for the players.
Hey, RJ, we haven't talked to you since what went down in Vegas. I mean, what's the vibe like in that city right now? Are things starting to get back to normal, or what's going on with Las Vegas these days?
Well, to me, I mean, listen, what do you say about the tragedy, right? Tragic. Loss of life and all that. What I was super enthused by, because Vegas has a real reputation of a transient city. People come, people go. And it's true. I've been here 19 years, and I'm like in the 95th percentile of locals. There's so few people that's been here over 19 years. And it also has a reputation of being blasé. We've seen it all. Oh, look, there's someone with two heads. Yeah, I saw that at the Circus last year. You know, it's like, and the fact that the city responded with such vigor, and I don't want to compare cities and tragedies, but I would say it, you know, the amount of blood people gave and the food they donated, it really, I think, was at least, you know, better than 50%, and I think better than that compared to what you'd expect from a random city. And to me, that was so heartening because I didn't expect it. And I think some of the reason is the attack was against what made Vegas special. It's Sunday night. There's 22,000 people at 11 p.m. That doesn't happen in most cities.
Right.
Right. Maybe on Friday night, maybe in the summer, you know, you've got a big concert. But Vegas is 24 hours, and Vegas is entertainment every night of the week. And to attack that felt like an attack on Vegas. And I think either consciously or subconsciously, we reacted differently than if it was, let's say, a random, you know, strip mall bombing, you know, that somehow killed the same number of people. That would be a tragedy. I don't think the city would have reacted with the same, you know, kind of rebelling against the destruction. So to me, it was very heartening, and I'm proud of Las Vegas.
All right, RJ Bell. Appreciate the time as always, RJ. You can find him at RJ in Vegas, and of course, check out pregame.com before you make any plays this weekend. There is so much free content on that site. They do a fantastic job with it. Appreciate you. We'll talk to you next Friday.
I hope Fred's not getting paid by the word today.
Fred's absolutely hammered. We're at the Ice House. We're at Luke's Ice House in Beaumont, RJ. Fred's wasted right now.
Yeah, Fred's on his second beer.
It sounds like it's the beginning of another story. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. All right, guys, I'm going to tell you about Allied Outdoor Solutions. Listen, you want to revitalize your outdoor living area? Allied Outdoor Solutions are the guys that can help you with that. They can renovate your faded pool deck, your grayed-out patio, your outdated driveway with a carved stone overlay that'll give you the superior look of real stone on your existing surface for less money. It's trialed, hand-carved, custom-colored for your place so it looks great, twice as strong as concrete, and Allied stands behind carved stone with a 7-year warranty. They can help you build from the ground up. If you've got a blank space, they'll build you a patio, a regular concrete patio, or if you want to do a patio cover in an outdoor kitchen, they can do that. They can do it all. They can help you on residential and commercial projects, and they offer 0% financing for up to 18 months. Save yourself the hassle and expense of tearing everything out and starting over. Go with a carved stone overlay instead. Get the look and feel of real stone for less from Allied Outdoor Solutions. Stop at the showroom, I-10 in the Beltway, or check them out online at AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com. That's AlliedOutdoorSolutions.com, or give them a call for a risk-free estimate. 713-465-0400 for Allied Outdoor Solutions.
This is The Blitz. The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.